Let's turn again for a few minutes to the passage from which we were reading, Joshua chapter 3, and reading again from verse 17. That's Joshua chapter 3, and reading from verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Do you ever think about death? It's a solemn question. Maybe you think it's rather a morbid question to ask. Death is a very real thing. It's all around us. The natural end point of the life of every single person. And yet in our society we're comparatively insulated from it. We don't often see the grim reality of the passing away of a human being. It struck me very forcibly the first time I was at a burial on the Isle of Lewis at a graveside. I'd never seen how it was done, how the local men would take up their spades, and having concluded the solemnities, the minister having given his address and so forth, the soil would then be put back into the burial site until at last all was complete. The mound was made, the turf was rolled back over, all was finished. It was an incredibly solemn thing to watch. I'd never seen that done anywhere else. It's the normal practice on the mainland to wait until the people have gone away, and then maybe a digger comes in and it's all done like that, and it's never seen. But to think of a body there being consigned to the earth to remain, it's very solemn. Now our theme in going through Joshua is Christian warfare. And of course in any warfare there is the prospect of death. That is natural. Wars involve bloodshed and death. And in the Christian warfare, death is a given. It is a certainty. It is, of course, the moment of the conclusion of that warfare. And if we are truly found in Christ, of course, the death of the Christian is the moment of triumph. The moment when at last the final enemy, the last enemy, has been defeated. And we enter into the presence of our Master. And yet still, the prospect of death is a fearful thing. A solemn prospect that lies before us as a barrier between us and the inheritance which we believe the Lord has for us if we are truly in Christ. And that's the theme I want us to reflect on for a few moments tonight. The safe passage of the Lord's people. The safe passage of the Lord's people. You might object if you know the story of Joshua, but we're just at the beginning. There's still so much of this warfare, this battle to undertake. The people still have to conquer their inheritance. What are we doing talking about death at this stage? But of course these things are just illustrations. We can't carry them too far. The Promised Land is a biblical picture of heaven. Here is the entry in to that Promised Land. The entry by crossing the barrier of the River Jordan. And it's appropriate, therefore, that we give some thought to the prospect of death, to the fear of death, but also to the comfort, the hope and encouragement that we have if we are truly believers in Jesus Christ, that he will indeed grant us safety through that barrier. So with these thoughts in mind, let's come firstly to consider the Lord's presence with his people. The Lord's presence with his people. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. The priests had, of course, led the way, marching into the river, bearing on their shoulders the ark of the covenant. Now the children will maybe wonder, what do we mean by this, the ark of the covenant? The ark of the covenant was a wooden box, a carved wooden chest, but one with great significance for the people of Israel, because into that wooden box they had put, as the Lord had instructed them, certain precious artifacts. In that wooden box were the two stone tables with the Ten Commandments written upon them, which the Lord had given to Moses. The tables of the law. And that was there in the midst of the people inside the ark. Alongside the two tables of the covenant, there was the rod of Aaron, the rod that had budded. You remember that miracle that the Lord did. He brought forth buds on the rod that was not planted in the ground, the walking stick that Aaron used. It budded to show, to indicate to the people that Aaron was God's chosen priest, God's choice for the high priesthood. And so that rod that had fulfilled that remarkable miracle, that too was in the Ark of the Covenant. And then also there was a bowl of manna to indicate the Lord's continual provision for his people in the wilderness. The whole ark was there to symbolize the presence of God in the midst of his people, providing for them, guiding them, keeping them through all their wilderness wanderings. And therefore the commandment was, take the ark first into the midst of the waters. You are safe while you have the ark with you. The ark symbolizing the presence of God. And so you see, this passage has a very clear message for each of us. We have safety when we have the Lord's presence with us. And as Christians, that is absolutely true. When we look ahead to all the solemn prospects that lie ahead of us, the things that we don't know, the bereavements that perhaps we are to suffer, the illnesses, the sicknesses, the grief, the loneliness, the pain. Who knows what suffering lies in store for each one of us? Who knows how bleak or hard our old age may be? Who knows whether it may be our mental faculties that are taken away? Who knows whether it may be our hearing, our eyesight, our powers of speech? There are so many disabilities that can come upon human beings. Who knows what the Lord has in store for each one of us? What solemn chastisements he is yet to bring upon us. And yet in the midst of all the solemn prospects lying ahead, here is comfort, safety, when we have the presence of the Lord. And who are they, these people who have the Lord's presence? We're told here in verse 5 of this passage, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The commandment was that they were to go through the rituals of ceremonial purification. They were to purify themselves. They were to be ceremonially clean because they were the Lord's people. They were to be clean. They were to be sanctified as they experienced this remarkable miracle that the Lord was going to work. And so it must be with God's people. We must be clean, not just in some outward ceremonial sense, but we must be clean from the guilt of sin. These are the people with whom the Lord has promised to be present. Not those who lie under a weight of guilt. Not those who deserve the wrath and curse for all eternity of God. But those who have been cleansed. Those for whom Jesus Christ has paid the price. Those whose sins are washed and in whom the Holy Spirit is working and is making them clean and holy and pure. These are the people who have God's presence, and therefore these are the people who have his safety. The people who can rely upon God's safety are those who are sanctified. And they are those, verse 6, who are led by the priests. The priests were to go first. Joshua said unto the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. The priests, of course, were the representatives of the people. That was their job. They were there to represent man before God, in the presence of Almighty God. They were the ones who made sacrifices for the sins of the people, to take away the guilt of their sins. They were the ones who represented holiness of life, purity, cleanness before God. And they were instructed to go first, indicating that the people were received and accepted and safe because of all that was done to make atonement for them, because of the work of the priests. And so you see it is with us. If we are truly God's people, then we have a priest, a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made atonement for us, not by ongoing sacrifices every day of life, but by one great final sacrifice, the death on the cross of Calvary that pays the price forever. The people who can enjoy the presence of God are the people who have Christ as their high priest, who are led by Christ, who are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who trust in him as Saviour. So it is with these people. They are to follow behind, trusting the priests, trusting the presence of God represented by the ark, trusting most of all God himself, that he will grant safety in the midst of the danger that lies ahead. So it is that we go into death itself, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's gone on before, hasn't he? He's gone on before into death itself, and he is risen again in proof of the resurrection that believers are to enjoy in him. So as we fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, we have reason, we have grounds to trust, to have faith in him, and to have faith in the safety which he offers to us. Oh, that we would draw the comfort and the joy that we can as we look to Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who leads the way for us. There are many worries, many anxieties in life. But oh, what need disturb us when we have the presence of God with us, when we have the Holy Spirit sanctifying our soul, when we have Christ as Saviour. Oh, let us lift our minds off the things of this world and let's think upon the wonder, the comfort of eternal life purchased by Jesus Christ. Oh, let's draw the comfort of it and encourage ourselves in him. And that brings us, you see, to our second point. We've considered the Lord's presence with his people. Therefore, secondly, let's consider the Lord's way of passage for his people. The Lord's way of passage. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Think of it. Before them lies the promised land. They've been told about it. It's been described for them. They've even sent in spies to look through it. They know what is to come. They know that here is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is a land that was promised to them in covenant to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. This is their land. This is their promised land. And they are looking forward to it, looking forward to receiving their inheritance there. It is their place of inheritance, their place of rest, their place of safety. They hope to enter it, and they have been commanded to enter it. It is God's will that they enter it. And so it is. If you are in Christ, you have an inheritance that lies ahead, and you're looking to it with longing. You're looking forward to the day when you will be entirely holy, when you will no longer look on yourself with shame, when you'll no longer look in your life with disgust, when you will no longer have reason to feel ashamed, to feel contaminated, to feel dirty, a life without sin. This is the glorious prospect before us, a life of love and of permanence with our Lord forever. And we look with such longing, don't we? Such desire. We fix our minds on it. We fix our hearts on it. That is our country. That is the city that we seek, a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And our longing, our desire is to be found in heaven. And it's God's will we go there. We have His command. He is preparing the way for us to go. It is His will, and so we look forward to it. But there is a barrier before us. The barrier, the River of Jordan. We are not there yet, and before us there lies God's plan for the rest of our lives here, and more importantly, for the death that we must die. The barrier, the River Jordan, it looms in the way. Difficult, dangerous. The people of Israel must have looked at it with fear. At this point in time, it was at its highest point. Verse 15, Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. And now the water level was high. It was deep. It was a fast-flowing current. In this water, there was danger. The people knew that if they tried to enter it, some of them, the weaker ones, children, old people, would be carried away by the current. Some would drown. They would lose precious items of baggage. Some would struggle through it. Others would be lost. They were regarding it. They were looking at it. And they were fearing the prospect of trying to cross this river. And so it can be with you and I. We look upon death and we fear it. Even rationally, as Christians, we say to ourselves, well, I have no reason to fear death. I am assured in my heart that I'm one of the Lord's people. I have a sure comfort. What fear can death hold for me? And yet it does, doesn't it? Death is a fearful thing. I remember I was struck by that. I was flying on a plane coming to Stornoway, actually, about a year or so ago. And I was suddenly struck by fear. I've never been afraid of flying before, never afraid since. But just that one time, I suddenly felt a fear. I suddenly thought of all that could go wrong. I suddenly thought of the prospect of death. And it wasn't being afraid of what was to come after death. It was the fear of death itself. The prospect of dying. We fear it, don't we? It's an awful thing. A fearful thing. A dreadful prospect that lies before us. You could say death is the most natural thing in the world. Everyone has to experience it. And yet, even though we say that, we know deep down, death is unnatural. This is not the way things are meant to be. It's not right that our lives should come to this sudden, hideous end, that body and soul should be rent asunder, and all the pain and the misery that so often goes with that. Death is something vile, something hideous. It is sin that has brought it into our world, and we do fear it. The Scriptures calls death the last enemy. How then can we face death? We must follow the command. The Lord says, go on. Press on straight towards it. We see it in verse 15. The priests are to go first. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, leading the way, guiding them straight towards the bank of the river, straight towards the fast-flowing current that the people fear. They go first, bearing the danger. And so it is with us. We look to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has gone first, hasn't he? He went first into death, into a fearful, hideous, ugly death, such as we can scarcely imagine. He went first. He went ahead of us to endure that death. And like the people of Israel, he entered that river. He stood steadfast while death poured upon him all that it could bring, all the sufferings, all the misery that could be imagined. As the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cursed cross, as he endured all the physical sufferings, all the mental sufferings of that experience, the Lord poured upon his head the wrath of God earned by his people. all the wrath deserved for all our sins, all poured down upon the head of Christ. It was like that great river being poured down all at once upon his head, and he endured. He stood steadfast and endured the suffering, the anguish, the vileness of God's wrath against sin. He endured, and at last he said, "It is finished." Having paid the price, having endured unto the end, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, and having paid the price, he died, and so our sins died with him. He bore them, he bore the punishment, and he is dead, and our sins are dead. And so, you see, we look to these priests. And as we look at these priests, we see a strange thing. It's recorded for us in verse 15. They that bear the priests were come unto Jordan. The feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap. What an extraordinary thing to see. A miracle. A supernatural occurrence such as couldn't have been imagined. The ark of the Lord would not be swept away. The priests would not be slain. They entered the river, and the river lowered. The river parted. The waters rose up in a heap, and there was a safe passage through. That is what we see as we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the safe passage opened. We see the horror of death, the fear, the terror of it. We see it held back by the supernatural power of God. We see the comfort of it. Because as we look to Christ, we see Christ not dead, but risen. And that's our hope, you see. It's as Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He has risen, and he is the proof. This river of death is not the end. There is something beyond. A glorious life, a glorious prospect beyond. And he has made a way. He has made a safe passage through the river. It's his work, not our work. His work, and it's his blessed achievement. And so the call to us is to trust our high priest, to trust the Lord Jesus as he leads us into it. Yes, death is fearful. Yes, the experiences that often surround death are fearful and ugly. And we hate the thought of suffering. And we hate the thought of mental and physical deterioration. And we hate the thought of being rent away from our loved ones. It's fearful. But the Lord has made a passage through death itself. Here then is the comfort that we have. The Lord's way of passage for his people. Thirdly, the Lord's preservation of his people. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Here then is a marvelous miracle. The waters pile up in a heap. It's hard for us to picture this, to imagine what it would look like. I've heard it speculated that what was going on here was an action of the Lord in causing the water to freeze. So that it was like a great iceberg building up, supernaturally, of course, in the riverbed. Maybe the Lord simply changed the property of the water so that instead of flowing, it became, for that time, thick like treacle and piled up until at last the people had passed. And it could flow normally once again. The key point is, it was supernatural and the people were safe. There was no danger. That fast-flowing, high-flowing, dangerous river was parted. And a way of passage made by the power of the Lord. And so it is with us as we come to death. We experience safety. Safety in the midst of death. And that safety is the comfort that we have. It's like Paul writes to us, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This, you see, is the Christian's comfort in death. Yes, death is dark. Yes, death is unnatural. But there's a prospect beyond it. And it's a prospect so wonderful, so glorious, that it makes death bearable. It makes it manageable. It makes that passage through the darkness of that experience. This is the work of Christ, who has purchased for us our eternal life. If we know our sins, then we know what we would deserve apart from Jesus. We know that we would deserve the full wrath and curse of God for all eternity because we are sinners. But the Lord has paid the price for all his people. Every single one of his people is safe. He's paid the price. He's died. He's endured it. And so you see the waters are held back and there is a way through. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's a fearful experience. Yes, the people no doubt tremble as they go past this great mound of water. They fear it, but they come through. That's the point. They come through safe. And so it is with us. If we are the Lord's people, he has abolished death. Death is not the end. Death is not the termination of life. It's the beginning. It's the first chapter of the everlasting life which the Lord is bringing to our experience. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let us see the comfort that we have in the midst of death. Let's see the Lord Jesus. Let's see him triumph over death. Let's see the prospect of his kingdom. And let's lift up our eyes from the temporary passing things of this life to the glorious prospect of eternity to come. Oh, will we think about these passing moments of suffering when we experience the joy of heaven? Will we think about a few short years of dementia, of Alzheimer's, of loneliness, of widowhood, of grief? Will we think on these things when we have Christ as Saviour, when we dwell with him in his love, when we are united with all his people? Will these things matter? Or is it not the case that for that prospect before us, for the achievement of Christ revealed to us, death itself seems as nothing. The sufferings of death seem as nothing. And there is a way through. This, you see, is the teaching of Scripture. And this is the comfort that Scripture brings. We see that in this safety, the leader himself is exalted. You see this in verse 7. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Joshua was having to step into very big shoes. He was having to take the place of Moses, the great man of God. He was fearful. He was struggling with the responsibility he had been given. But the Lord honoured him before Israel so that he himself was proven to be God's appointed leader by this extraordinary miracle. And so it is with Jesus Christ, our great Joshua, our great leader, our great Saviour. He is honoured, he is exalted in the victory that he has over death because it's his work that makes us safe. Here are the words of the Apostle Paul. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He asks the questions, now he answers them. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin, that's the sting of death. But Jesus Christ, he has purged sin. He's cleansed it from all his people. And so you see, death has no more sting. Death has no more victory. It is but the passage into God's everlasting life. And so it is that Jesus Christ is exalted. God giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that we have it in verse 17. We all pass in safety through the River Jordan. Every one of the people of Israel, and they were a very mixed bag, everyone passed safely through. The sinners, the failures, the disgraces, the ones who'd made many mistakes, the ones who were guilty of much, they passed through. They passed in safety by the Lord's miraculous provision. So it is with God's people. We are a very mixed bag. Some of us have done terrible things. Some of us have said terrible things. Some of us have thought terrible things. But each one of us granted safe passage to everlasting life. If our trust is in Jesus Christ, then there is safety. That's the point. That's the question. That's the issue. Is your faith truly in Jesus Christ? Are you really one of his people? Oh, if you are, see that there is safe passage. John Bunyan writes beautifully of this in Pilgrim's Progress. You'll maybe remember it. Christian and hopeful, they have come to the end of their journey, that long road from the city of destruction. Before them lies the celestial city, but first they must cross the River Jordan. And it's a fearful prospect. And they look around for any other way, and there is no other way. And so the two men enter that river. And they are told by the angels who guard the river, they are told that the height of the water depends upon their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopeful, who is strong in faith, he looks ahead. He looks to the Lord, and his feet find the bottom. And he walks through amidst the billows of the river. He walks through on solid ground. Christian, who's so full of doubts and fears, for a time he's almost overwhelmed by the water. He feels himself sinking under the weight of it. And yet his friend Hopeful shouts to him and tells him to lift his eyes. To lift his eyes to the King, to the Lord Jesus, who's on the other side, who's in the celestial city, who is waiting to welcome them. And as he follows that instruction, so his faith strengthens again. And so he sees Christ, and his feet find the ground, and he is able to walk through the rest of the river. Oh, is it not beautiful? The picture that we have of the safety of the believer. And this speaks to us of our experience. Yes, we fear. Yes, we're afraid. But oh, can we not trust? Can we not trust in the Lord Jesus? Can we not look to his blessed safekeeping and trust him to lead us through the waters and to bring us into his promised land? The safe passage of the Lord's people. Just as we draw to a close, let's offer a couple of final thoughts of application. Let us rejoice in our safety in this crossing. If we are the Lord's people, let us take the comfort that we have. And as we consider the prospect of death, let us feel that warmth, let us feel that comfort and encourage ourselves. Yes, it is fearful, but the Lord has conquered. Let us trust him in the midst of the fears of life. Let us realize that we have Christ as our ground of confidence. And so let our eyes lift up to him. Let our confidence rest in him. And let us find him as the solid rock on which we depend in a world full of confusion and full of distraction. Oh, let our feet find solid ground. Death itself is destroyed in him. And he has the triumph. He has the victory. But if we're not God's people tonight, and if we're not trusting in Jesus Christ tonight, then let's realise that this comfort is not for us, at least not yet. And that instead, the Lord's message is a solemn one. It is of death as that great river through which there is not a passage, through which there is not a miraculous way opened, but a river that is high, that is flowing fast, that will sweep you away and carry you away to everlasting ruin. Oh, that not one of us would come to that river at last, unprepared, without a hope in Christ, without faith in Him. Oh, that none of us would come there thinking that we are ready to meet God in our own righteousness. Oh, that we would not experience the horror of death without a Saviour. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Oh, let none of us experience that death, that fearful, hideous death, the death of those who have refused Christ as Saviour. Oh, let each one of us, if we've never embraced Him yet, let us now turn to Christ, embrace Him as Saviour, and find the safety and the comfort which He offers. May God enable us so to do, and enable us to find comfort and assurance in Him. Amen. God bless His word. Let's come before Him in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and blessed Lord, we worship, we magnify Thee for the wonder of this so great salvation. We bless Thee for the comfort that we can have in the midst of the experience of death. And oh, we pray for strength, for peace of mind, even from Thyself. Forgive our sins, lead us in holiness, and teach us Thy ways. In Christ's name, Amen.